Okay. Open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Now, last time we were talking about praying for results, you know, and we found out, you know, we needed to talk to our mountain, you know, Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, and 24. Tells us about talking to our mountain. And also, Jesus talked about the things you say three times. And in Word of Faith circles, a lot of times people get zeroed in on the believing part, and they try to believe, and they try harder to believe, and they try harder to believe, and they try harder to believe. And they don't pay as much attention to the speaking part. You know, he did say something about your speaking three times and believing once. And then we talked about the importance of understanding God's integrity. The understanding that God cannot lie. You know, he doesn't repent on what he said. If he said something, he said it. People will shout hallelujah when you tell them God can't lie. They'll say hallelujah. But in the very same breath, their actions will say that God's not good to his word. We'll find out more about that here in a little bit. It happens all the time. Then we found out that faith is developed by spending time in the Word. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And literally, that burning faith inside your spirit is going to come by hearing the words of Jesus. You know, getting into the New Testament and hearing those words. You know, we can all agree that the Tenth Commandment is the Word of God. 100%, that's the holy, infallible Word of God. Won't do one thing to build faith in your heart. It'll build fear and condemnation. Paul called it the ministry of death. Have you ever just stopped and wondered why God had them Ten Commandments placed in the Ark of the Covenant? With the mercy seat on top of them, out of the sight of the people? Have you ever wondered why? Because he didn't want them to be reminded of their sin. He didn't want them to have a sin conscience. And then, have you ever wondered why Christians, in all of their infinite wisdom, took those Ten Commandments and placed them on every wall of every church, had major lawsuits and court battles to have them on the courthouse lawn, and then Ten Commandments plastered all over the place for everybody to see? Have you ever wondered about that? The devil snookered them. You know how the devil keeps Christians in defeat with the law? You know, I think personally, they'll take those Ten Commandments down, take 10 things that Jesus did by grace, put them on them lawns and on them walls, put that in front of the sight of the people, and see things change. Amen? Now, we've figured out that once you've prayed in faith, you must hold fast to your confession. You got the answer. You need to maintain your faith by keeping your confession, what you say, in line with the Word. Let's look at, now, we can go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9 says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." That's something that we want to be in. We want to be in the rest. Now, let me ask you something. If you're resting, are you working? No, you're resting. That's how God wants his people to be, at rest. You know, Jesus already did all the work. Our job as believers is to believe and receive. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now, if that doesn't explain to you that you're not going to be able to earn God's blessings, I don't know what does. You need to relax. But I got all this stuff to do. Okay. Relax while you're doing it. But my kid's an idiot. Well, okay, relax while you call him and tell him not to be an idiot. You know, Job, his kids were being idiots, and he was all bothered about it. And it cost him everything. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. See, here's a good example of that. When you got born again, because of the blood of Jesus, you got made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is just the way it is. You're as righteous as you're ever going to be. Now you get in church and you start thinking, you know, I've got to earn God's favor. See, if I do this and if I do that, if I serve in this area, if I read my Bible this much, if I pray in tongues till my tongue turns to sandpaper, if I fast till my ribs pop out, God has to bless me. What are you doing? You're actually trying to earn your own righteousness. You think that because you do all these things, you'll be able to stand before God and he has to bless you. What you've effectively done is said, you know, I can do something that the blood of Jesus can't do. Guess what? You're wrong. When you got born again, you got put into right standing with God and you qualified for his blessings because of the blood of Jesus. What's your job? Believe it. And receive it. Amen? Now, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Literally, our confession. Hold fast to a positive confession. Here's some good news for you. Remember, the Old Testament is types and shadows of things to come. And in the Old Testament, there's a cool thing about the high priest. If the high priest was on his game, and he was really doing things right, you know, the people could be a little shady. But God would look to the high priest and look to the sacrifice. On the other hand, if the high priest was a little shady, and the people, they could be on their game, they could be doing things right, but if the priest was shady, everybody was shady. Because God looked at the high priest. Now, how do you suppose our high priest is looked upon right now? You know, the Bible does say, as he is, so are we now in this world. How do you suppose God looks at Jesus? Pretty favorably? Well, that's how he looks at you. Do you suppose God loves Jesus? As he is, so are we now in this world. Did you know that God loves you with the same love that he loves Jesus with? You know, Jesus takes our sacrifices and makes them perfect. You know, we offer up the sacrifice of praise. We offer up our prayers to him, and he makes them perfect. An Old Testament picture of this was when people would take these birds, and they'd take them to the high priest, and the high priest would take the feathers off of these birds, and then he'd put them on the altar, and that smoke would go up as a sweet-smelling savor. Dear God, that's a picture of our prayers. We take these prayers, we offer them, and our high priest takes those and he knocks our flesh off of those prayers and offers them to God as a sweet-smelling sacrifice. Thank God for Jesus. Amen? Now, go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Sounds kind of a weird verse, and you try to wrap your mind around that, and sometimes you get a little confused, but here's basically what it's saying. You know, God tells us to call things that aren't as though they are. You know, we go through that in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, and 24. We speak to things. We change things. We actually make things manifest. Things that weren't, they become by the word of God. Well, that's just some of that name it and claim it stuff. That's religious people throw that out there all the time. Yes, you're not born again any other way. You spoke out of your mouth what you believed in your heart. That's what God instructs us to do in the Bible. That's what he's saying right here. You find something in the Bible that you need. Maybe it may be health, it may be finances, it may be peace, protection, whatever it is. And you find that promise in that Bible, and you read it, and you look at it, and you meditate on that, and you get it strong in your heart, and then you speak it forth. And then you keep speaking it forth until it happens. Well, how long do I got to do it? Until you get it. Amen? But you must speak faith-filled words. And here's where people get tangled up. They'll go pray the prayer of faith for healing. And right there, what they're doing, they're talking to their mountain. They told that sickness to be gone in the name of Jesus. And they said that by his stripes I was healed. Now their confession, your profession, your confession has to stay the same. You need to walk out that door. And your confession needs to be, by his stripes I was healed. When you get to the post office and somebody says, how are you doing? So, by his stripes, I was healed. Well, hillbilly, you don't look healed. I don't care what I look like, I'm healed. Amen. And then another church member comes up and says, how's your cancer? Well, number one, I don't have cancer. My body has been attacked with cancer, but it's not mine. And I'm healed of that. Yeah? Well, where's your hair? See, that's one of the most irritating things to me in the world is when Christians try to take another Christian's confession away from them. Try to get them off the word. You run into somebody that doesn't have two pennies to rub together and they are believing for finances. You say that my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. They're believing that because of the grace of God, that because Jesus got on the cross, that they've been made rich because he was made poor. Don't ask them where their new car is. Get in there and believe with them. Say, buddy, I believe with you. I agree with you that you're going to get the things that you need. You're not going to get just a job. You're going to get a position. Why is that so hard for people to just agree with somebody? Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. You know, one of the most irritating things is some of these little sayings that we grow up with. You know, you grow up learning, you know, I'm so broke I can't even pay attention. What are you doing? It may sound funny, but you got to understand how much power the spoken word, your spoken word, has. You don't want to be saying those things over yourself. I'm so sick and tired, I can't even hardly get up out of bed, go to work. If you don't stop it, you're going to be so sick and tired that you won't be able to get out of bed. Well, I don't believe in any of those things. I don't really want those things to happen. It doesn't matter. It is a spiritual law. Amen? Did you know the devil doesn't give one rat's behind what you believe one way or another? If you want to throw bad seed out there, he's going to see to it that that thing grows in your life. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Do you realize that most of what you have in life, you spoke into existence? Some way or another, you spoke it into existence. That once people speak the spirit of fear into their lives, so it would be such a dominating force that they literally couldn't hardly get out of bed sometimes. They say, I know God loves me. I know Jesus protects me. And then they start talking about how afraid they were. And I say, look, you've got to stop that. You have to understand fear is a spirit. And that spirit is not given to you by God. However, you can invite that spirit into your life with your confession. People fight this all the time. They talk about all these limitations that they have. So who put these limitations on you? And they'll give you all these different people and circumstances that put these limitations on them, but it's not God. Amen? You know, the only limitations that you have are the ones that you have accepted. Now go to James chapter 2. One of the hardest lessons I had to learn. And truly, everybody has to learn this lesson. And, you know, the pastor can pray for you. He can anoint you with oil until your feet get all wrinkly. But here's the deal. James chapter 2, verse 17. Says, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Now, the religious folks will say that's where you got to earn your salvation and all this stuff. No, this is the thing. Everybody runs into this crossroads. Faith without works is dead. Literally, faith without corresponding action. Now, when I was learning this stuff, I was seeing it, and I was believing God. And man, I had some terrible back and leg problems, horrible. And I would believe God, and I'd go and I'd get prayed for. I'd pray, I'd fast, I'd pray, I'd go get prayed for, and nothing happened. And I'd read the Bible, and I'd read the Bible, and I'd look, and I'd say, how am I missing this? How am I not getting this? And I'd sit there, and I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and I finally realized every time somebody got something, it's because they did something. Now, when I'd go get prayed for, I had a special pair of boots. And this one boot here, I always had to have a 3/4-inch shim on it. I had my sole built up, heel built up, all this stuff. And so I'd go in there with those boots on, and I'd get prayed for and all this stuff. And finally, one day it hit me. You know the blind man, the beggar? Jesus asked him, said, what would you that I'd do for you? And he said that I'd see, that I would get my sight. And Jesus said, or come here. the guy took his coat and threw it away, and he walked over there, and I thought, well, I wonder, that's weird. Then I found out that this coat was a special coat. In that particular time, in that culture, you had to wear these special coats that signified you as a beggar. So when somebody walking down the street, they'd see you wearing that coat, and they'd say, oh, that guy's a beggar. Well, that's how he had to make his living. He was blind. He had to make his living by begging. Then you know something? He threw his living away before he could see anything. Threw his coat away, walked over to Jesus, and he got his sight. The woman with the issue of blood heard about Jesus, and she put action to what she believed, and she went down there and touched the hem of his garment, and she got healed. Peter heard Jesus say, come here, and he jumped out of the boat and he walked on water. You know, there were 12 disciples in that boat. 12 of them. They all heard that same word. But only one of them jumped out of the boat. You know something? All 12 of them could have jumped out of that boat, walked on water. Because if the word of God is good for one, it's good for all. So then I figured out, that's what I'm doing wrong. So I bought a pair of boots. This guy had this pair of boots. I said, how much do you want to sell those boots for? I already bought his Bible. How much for those boots? He told me, I'll take them. So I took my boots off, my old boots off, put them other boots on, went to church, and there were three preachers there. I said, don't you pray for me. You just agree with me that my leg is healed, and it's been that way ever since. My lightning fast mind finally caught up to what I've been reading for 5 years. Maybe not that long. But what happened? Well, I kept reading it, and 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 the Holy Spirit kept bringing more and more light into my life and more revelation. And I kept learning of Jesus. And then boom. We're all in the same boat. Amen. We're all fishing in the same hole. We got the same tools. Amen. But faith words must be backed by corresponding action. I always wondered, I'd read these books by these healing evangelists, you know. And they'd talk about these stories, you know, and Kenneth Copeland would be down there in the basement with, you know, Oral Roberts upstairs preaching, and then he'd get done. And then he'd just kind of go through an overview of the sermon and tell these people were bedridden, some of them, in wheelchairs. He said, and he'd go through all these notes, and then he'd say, now when he gets down here and starts praying for you, you do something that you couldn't do before. And he said this little girl was laying on this thing. She hadn't moved. She was paralyzed all the way. And Kenneth said, she started moving her eyes. Oral Roberts down there praying for her. She just started moving her eyes. And he said, pretty soon she is moving her arms. Pretty soon she's moving her legs. And then she jumped out of that bed. She was running around the room. And her mom was chasing her out and saying, you can't do that. You can't do that. She put action to what she believed. Amen? And then pretty soon, it'll get better. And you'll get more. And you get more. Sometimes people will go for a little while. You know, they'll get better. And they'll go for a little while. And then they'll wonder why they're not 100%. And they'll get mad and they'll give up. Don't do that. See, remember in the parable of the sower, Jesus talked about this. Said, you'll get some 30-fold return on his word. Some 60-fold return on his word. Some 100-fold return on his word. So you got a little bit better. Praise God for the 30-fold return on his word that you got. See, if preachers would spend more time talking about that in that context instead of talking about money in that context, maybe people wouldn't be so frustrated. Amen? But you got a 30-fold return on his word. You believed the word of God. You spoke scriptures about him healing you. And you got a little bit better. You got a 30-fold return. Well, praise God. Don't get mad and quit. Hang in there and get that 60-fold. And then hang in there a little longer and get that 100-fold return on your word. Amen? On his word. Act by faith, not according to your feelings or reasonings. So you prayed the prayer of faith. Somebody prayed over you, laid hands on you. You felt horrible when you got there. You know, you could feel that pain in your body. And they prayed for you. And you walk out that door and your body still feels as bad as it did when they prayed for you. And you go home. And you start thinking about it. 2 o'clock in the morning when you're in bed and it really starts hurting and you can't sleep and you start thinking about it. And then you show up somewhere else and there's some other guy that seems pretty charismatic. So you say, will you pray for me? What happened? You just tore your seat up. You received it. You received it. You just have to keep that positive confession going and give it time to manifest. Remember, we're to be led by our spirit, which in order to be led by our spirit, we have to be led by the word. We always want to. It's natural for people in this physical world to want to see it, feel it, smell it, touch it, or taste it. A good example of that, see, in the Old Testament, when they anointed somebody, when they wanted to anoint somebody to be a king or a priest or whatever they were going to do, they'd take this horn of oil and they go pour it over their head. It's really cool. Now I can testify that you can feel it. You can smell it. You can taste it. Now I could hear the gurgling coming out of there. All five of my natural senses were engaged. But there's a better way. In the New Testament, we receive it by faith. Do you realize that you can receive something? You can be under the full anointing of God and be operating in miracles. All the time, you feel like a frog. I'm serious. There's times that I've prayed for people where in the natural, it just felt like a toad. You know, But I'm anointed because the Bible says I'm anointed. I have authority because the Bible says I have authority in the name of Jesus. And I know that if I use the Word of God in the name of Jesus, it takes it out of my realm and puts it in His realm, and He can get something done, regardless of what I think, feel, smell, taste, that's here. It's not about us. It's not about our five natural senses. I need to go shut myself off from the people until I feel anointed enough to go preach. Until you feel anointed enough to go preach. Get involved in the New Testament, or you do it by faith. Amen. You're not always going to get an answer to your five natural senses, but you receive it in your spirit. Your five natural senses will catch up to it, you know. And here's the thing. You do that with the Word of God. You know, I didn't feel forgiven. I had to look at the Bible where it said that I was forgiven. The blood of Jesus took care of it. I had to look at it over and over and over and over and over again. What happened was it hit my spirit, and then my little feelers lined up with what the Word of God said. Then I was released, and it's okay. Everybody's got to cross these bridges. You know, nobody, there are no lone rangers out there. Amen? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. This is going to be our last one. Chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You realize that faith is based on eternal truths, and you keep your heart fixed on the Word of God, you'll change your circumstances. You'll literally change your reality. You know, really cool thing about Peter, he was looking at Jesus. He was walking on water. How do I know that? Because he didn't start sinking until he started looking at the wind and the waves. If he'd have kept his eyes on Jesus, I think he'd have walked all the way straight to Jesus. Amen? I don't focus too much on him sinking. I don't know if he got to his ankles or if he got to his ears. It doesn't really matter. Because when he got in trouble, when he got out there as far as his faith could take him, he cried out to Jesus, "Save me." And guess what happened? Jesus stepped in, and they both walked to the boat. That supernatural faith of Jesus walked to the boat, and there was absolutely nobody. There's nobody on that boat that could look at Peter and say, "Wow, you was so cool. I seen you walking on that water, man. You are the dude." Nobody could do that. All they could do is look to Jesus and say, "Wow." That's where God wants us. He wants us out there so far that our own resources and our connections, our knowledge, our talent, our money, or whatever it is we may be leaning on, can't get the job done. And we have to cry out to Jesus, say, "Help." And then watch that supernatural faith kick in. Watch him step in and get the job done. And then you got to just sit there and say, "Only God could have done that." And everybody else around you will look at that and say, I know that turkey. Only God could have done that. But don't you dare sit there and say, man, I fasted for 3 weeks and I prayed in tongues until I fell over and I paid the price and then I got out there and look what happened. Miracle after miracle after miracle. That's stupid. And that's pride and I'll get you in trouble. Amen? I'm not against fasting. I'm not against praying. I'm not against reading the Bible. But here's the thing. Look to Jesus and say, man, Jesus, you know, I know I was about ready to be toast, but Jesus stepped in there and he got the job done. We give praise to God. We give praise to God. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for everything that Jesus, our high priest, does for us every single day, even things that we don't even know about. He's mindful to watch over us. Even when we're sleeping, he takes care of us. He blesses us even when we don't deserve it, which is all the time. He feeds us, he clothes us, he shelters us, and he guides us with his Holy Spirit and he teaches us. What a good high priest we have. We thank you for your grace and the blood of Jesus that takes care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.